Try to see it my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can't go on? Why, you see it your way. Run the risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone. We can work it out. We can work it out. Think of what you're saying. You can get it wrong, still you think that it's all right. Think of what I'm saying. We can work it out and get it straight or say goodnight. We can work it out. We can work it out. Life is very short and there's no time for fussing and fighting, my friend. I have always thought that it's a crime. So I will ask you once again. Try to see it my way. Only time will tell if I am right or I am wrong. Try to see it your way. There's a chance that we may fall apart before too long. We can work it out. We can work it out. Hello, everyone. I am Chuck Gregory, and this is the New American Dream Radio Show. And we are streaming live on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. And it's listener-supported network. And this is the beginning of a new month. So this is a great time to head on over there and get their donations going for the month. That's revolution.radio or freedomslips.com. I'm proud now to introduce my friend and co-host, Mike Palachek, an American writer.
Hey, Chuck. And I think this show is our, this show, we started in 2011, so this would be our 8 years we've been doing this show. So here we go. Tonight we are welcoming these special guests: Philip Ferrugio, Frank Cordero, Ava Bird, Mickey Z, and Azura Crispino. So this Thursday evening we are gathering for the New American Dream Radio Show in Fort Lauderdale, in Port Orange, in Des Moines, Iowa, in Northern Minnesota, in Austin, Texas, in Los Angeles, California, in Astoria, Queens, New York City, and wherever you are. I recommend taking the time to take a look at informationclearinghouse.org, and especially these recent articles. Venezuela's Maduro talks to RT about avoiding war, and Venezuela Let's Cut to the Chase by Pepe Escobar. Also, Truth About Russian Influence by Finian Cunningham. Western states and their media claim that Russia is winning an information war because Russian propaganda is so magically sophisticated and subversive. The truth is, Western governments and media are losing their information war because they have been exposed over and over again telling barefaced lies. The truth about Russian propaganda is simply that Russian politicians are much more principled and decent than Western counterparts, and Russian news media are at least trying to genuinely provide a realistic account of major international events to reflect objective facts. Not so Western media, which are foghorns for lies and disinformation. Also, before you ever turn on the television, please visit Common Dreams and Democracy Now! On Democracy Now! And at Common Dreams, there's all sorts of important issues addressed every day. Especially this morning on Democracy Now!, the interview with Victorina Morales, an undocumented worker and former employee of Donald Trump. And on Common Dreams this morning, a piece by Ruth Conniff, the editor of the Progressive magazine, entitled Trump's Long, Weird, Divisive State of the Union. And of course, we have to continue to point out that these two outstanding websites, Common Dreams and Democracy Now!, along with the Progressive, will have nothing to do with reporting the truth about 9/11, Boston, Sandy Hook, Oklahoma City, etc., etc. And just as with Jon Stewart and Comedy Central, we have to ask, is this because they have studied the evidence, rolled it around in their hands, and found it wanting? Or is it because, well, what would be the reason for that? Because we have come to understand that since 1963 and even before that, we have lived in a state, a nation, a republic ruled by deception. We understand. We understand that any newspaper publisher, magazine editor, radio show host, TV news show host who persists and still telling us that Osama bin Laden was buried at sea, who still tells us that the plane in Shanksville disappeared into that little hole in the ground, who still tells us that Lee Harvey Oswald killed John Kennedy, that James Earl Ray killed Martin King, that Robert Kennedy was murdered by Sirhan Sirhan, deserves nothing but, has earned nothing but, our convulsive, doubled over laughter. Our first guest in the show is Frank Cordero. Frank Cordero joins us each week from Des Moines, Iowa, and the Des Moines Catholic Worker. And we're going to listen in right now to the conversation between Chuck Gregory and Frank Cordero.
Well, hello, Frank. All right. Mm-hmm. Really?
Chuck, I don't hear anything.
Mm-hmm.
I can hear it in the background, but I can't hear it on the phone here. I heard you say hello, Frank. That's all I heard.
Okay, I'm going to stop this, and we're going to try starting it all over again a different way. And let me know if you can hear it, Mike.
Yep.
Just give me a second here.
Yo, Chuck.
Well, hello, Frank.
Oh, good. I'm glad we reconnected. Because I want to tell you about the most recent Catholic Worker Plowshare. So just give me a moment to get myself placed.
All right.
So going upstairs. It happened up in the northern part of Minnesota.
Really?
Four Catholic worker types. Shut down a oil valve pipeline thing. Let me try to get you. So it says the valve turner's released after felony charge. All right. On Wednesday, the quotes, four necessity valve turners, Brenda Ethel, Daniel Yedem, Michelle Obed, Allison Pullman, were released after 48 hours in the the Issaica County Jail with conditions after charges of a felony and a misdemeanor. The felony charge is a good thing. This means they will bring the necessity defense to a jury trial and bring expert witnesses to the courtroom. Climate necessity lawyers are already expressing enthusiasm to work with. In the meantime, the action has been covered by the New Yorker, New York Times, the Washington Post, Democracy Now, and much more. For a full list, they tell you where to go. But I'm going to write to you. Let's see. Let me read what the statement says. I think that's going to be really important.
Mm-hmm.
It says, we, a group of Catholic workers and farmers, are spiritually rooted and devoted to the care of all life. We are ordinary people without all the answers. And yet, we each feel personally called to step into responsibility for standing in the way of this deadly fossil fuel industry, which benefits the few at the expense of all life, especially those who are most vulnerable. We do not come in just of our brothers and sisters who make their living from this industry, who are in need of work with just wages. We are certain that if we go to this destructive industry, we will open the door to clean energy industries that will bring meaningful work that uplifts the common good. Our species stands at death's door due to the outmoded and violent myth that some people are more important than others, and that we can live without the intimacy, synchronicities, and miraculous web of life that surrounds us. Even as we approach total devastation, this myth still rages, and nowhere is it more apparent than here in our own backyard. The state of Minnesota and the Enbridge Energy Corporation are pushing to increase the volume of deadly tar sand oil through inherently unsafe pipes across OBG territory, treaty territory, and public lands, forests, and wetlands, threatening indigenous nations' food, medicine, and cultural security, as well as the water that we all depend on for survival. The recent scientific study on climate change presented to the UN indicates that the threat of irreversible damage and destruction to our planet is imminent. Therefore, having exhausted all legal and political avenues and have found those avenues legally and deadly, inadequately, either to curb our dependence on fossil fuel or to stop its expansion, we find it necessary to take this direct action of turning off the flow of this poisonous tar sand oil. The time is now for unprecedented and urgent action. We recognize that turning the valves on one of the many pipelines is but a small step in the struggle of environmental justice. Our hope is that it will remain off and that the decision makers at Enbridge Energy Corporation will feel called to do the right thing and turn off the others as well. Only then can we work towards a clean and sustainable future for all, for generations to come. With hope, the four necessity things, Brenna, Michelle, Allison, and Danielle. Press release. Yeah. All right, the press release.
Wow.
I make myself clear. They went to the thing. You know, they called the cops, told them what they were doing.
Right.
And went out there, broke the lock on the fence that protected it. Went in there and then they turned the valve off. And the police came. Now they're being charged. There's where you, and they're out after 48 hours.
Very interesting.
It's kind of exciting.
Yeah.
It's called Four Necessity Valve Turners.
Okay.
So that's one way to find the webpage. Yeah.
Very good.
I'm kind of excited for that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Frank.
I'd say is we're going to be doing our thing on St. Patrick's Day weekend out here, the Midwest Catholic Worker Resistance Retreat.
And then
we not only have Kathy Kelly who's going to be a speaker, but we have the Dominican nun, Sister Artis Platy, and Carol Gilbert of Jonah House fame in Plowshares fame. And they're going to be out here part of this retreat experience. So we got three of the most radical women in the Catholic Church.
Wow. All right.
Who are going to be with us. Kind of excited about that. So, more about that later. All right.
Frank.
More about these Catholic workers in the pipeline.
How about that? That's something. Yeah. That's great.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Frank. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
And now a letter in the Boone's Farm Bottle. Notes we have received from listeners by email, chat room, telephone, telepathy, and telegraph. From Bubba, sitting in a green and white Border Patrol SUV near El Paso, we hear, I recommend a new film, The Infiltrators. The first stanza of the Star Spangled Banner, the United States of America's national anthem, memorably ends with the phrase, "the home of the brave." I've seen no braver Americans depicted on screen than Marco Saavedra, Diana Martinez, and Mohammed Abdullahi, young undocumented illegals raised in the U.S. who risked deportation to infiltrate an immigration detention facility with the hope of helping keep families together. Watch the infiltrators. Watch and learn. A letter in the Boone's Farm bottle. Notes we have received from listeners by email, chat room, telephone, telepathy, and telegraph. And now we join In Progress, another episode of The Americans. The Americans is brought to us by Crisis Actors of the Homeland, Operation Mockingbird, Operation Northwoods, COINTELPRO, and by Kraft and Blackwater, bringing you Aurora, Tucson, Orlando, the Boston bombing, Sandy Hook, San Bernardino, Charlottesville, and so much more. The Americans dream of marshmallow clouds and lollipop lanes in TV towns while the world wails. Fists clenched, tears streaming. The Americans dream of rocket ships, fireworks, freedom, and hallelujah while they sleep on through the alarm, the house of fire. It's true that the newcomers to Washington, D.C. are different than ever before. But after all is said and done, they are Americans. The construction is underway for the wall around the Washington, D.C. Beltway to drain the swamp with an impressive culvert system and to separate the White House, the FBI, the CIA, the Pentagon, the Congress, and the Washington Press Corps from normal human beings. Scattered around the job site are the wooden boards to be tacked up all around the new wall with the message. Let me put it this way. While 9/11 was a U.S. deep state operation, probably subcontracted for execution to the Israelis, the entire Washington swamp has been, since 9/11, accomplice after the fact by helping to maintain the cover-up. If this is brought into light, then thousands of political careers are going to crash and burn into this scandal. We find President Cosmo Nutt standing on the balcony, getting ready to talk to the whole world to tell them how he feels, as he does every year at about this time. His heart is so full. He wants to say so much. He has worked so hard on this speech. He wants to tell everyone all that he knows and let them feel all that he is. He walks solemnly back into the parallelogram office where everything is ready. He looks at the teleprompter and begins. My fellow Americans, he wanted to get this just right. He looks straight into the teleprompter and then picks up the yellow legal pad in front of him and holds it up to the television camera so the world can see what kind of a man he is. As his wife, his servants, and his bodyguards, as well as the child left behind, in behind a curtain behind the window, look on. Like a second grader with a finger painting, President Cosmo Nutt proudly displays the yellow legal pad with the dollar signs, boobs, and tanks. Stay tuned next week when Big Bird, Snuffy, and the president of Uruguay will visit the parallelogram office to observe nap time. Coming up in the next half hour, we will hear from Philip Ferruccio in Port Orange, Florida, followed by Mickey Z in New York City. Please stay tuned to Revolution Radio, the listener-sponsored alternative to the lies presented everywhere elsewhere daily. Excuse me. I want a programming note. Chuck had computer problems all day, and it's to his great credit that we can even put a show on tonight. His computer was down, and he was able to get it back up, which is no small task, and to also get interviews with Frank, with Ava, with Azura, and with Mickey. Recorded all those interviews, and he edited them, and he's putting them together. We're having a little bit of difficulty, but I think we're going to be all right.
Thanks for that,
Chuck.
It was actually not just a day, but actually since Sunday. I have been working on this. I was trying to upgrade it, and I ended up breaking it for a while. So that, like, yesterday morning at 2 a.m., it stopped being able to boot at all, and I didn't get it running again until about 10 a.m. today. So it has been the adventure.
Yeah. Well, thanks for all that, Chuck, and thanks. We were able to get Frank's good note, good message out there, and we're looking forward to the rest of it.
Well, thanks, Mike. I think I got some real good stuff. You know, we have great guests.
Okay. Thanks for your work.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Do you or someone you know suffer from poor circulation, shortness of breath, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural solution to help overcome these problems? People tell us that after just a few months taking Extendivite, their doctors have noticed unexplainable improvements in their overall health. For more information, visit heartdrop.com or call 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And tell them Nighthawk sent you, because if you call this number and tell them Nighthawk sent you, you'll get $5 off your first order at extendivite.com. Thank you.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
We'll be right back.
now we hear from Moscow, Idaho, Madam Babushka Kalashnikov. Review from my Perovsky card. Conspiracies are real. There are many more of them than people are aware. Just Google, for example, Operation Gladio or the Northwoods Project. These conspiracies alone are sufficient to chastise those uninformed Western peoples who go around saying our government would never kill its own people. False flag attacks are used by governments in order to pursue secret agendas that they cannot publicly acknowledge. If President George W. Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney had said, we are going to attack Iraq and a half dozen other countries in order to exercise hegemony over the Middle East, steal their oil, and clear the path for Israel to steal the entirety of the West Bank of Palestine, diverting taxpayers' resources from serving the American people into the pockets of the armaments industries and spilling the blood of your parents, spouses, children, and siblings, even the American sheeple would have resisted. Instead, following the famous advice of Hitler's chief propagandist, they said, our country has been attacked. Generally speaking, an observant person with a bit of education can recognize a false flag attack. However, few people pay attention beyond what the official media says, and the media no longer investigates and questions, but simply repeats the official story. Therefore, only a few realize what has really happened, and when these few open their mouths, they are discredited as conspiracy theorists. This method of control might be wearing thin. There have been so many false flag terrorist attacks in the 21st century that there are now thousands of experts labeled as conspiracy theorists. The neoconservatives who controlled the George W. Bush regime called for a new Pearl Harbor so that they could begin their wars of conquest in the Middle East. A new Pearl Harbor is what 9/11 gave them. The charge conspiracy theory is used to prevent investigation. 9/11 was not investigated. The Boston Marathon bombing was not investigated. A scripted story was issued and repeated by the media. The San Bernardino shootings were not investigated. Again, a prescripted story took the place of investigation. The success of false flag attacks in the U.S. led to their use in the U.K. and France. The Charlie Hebdo affair was not investigated, and the official explanation makes no sense. The story was closed with all the loose ends dangling. For example, why did a French police official investigating a crime allegedly commit suicide in his police office in the early hours of the morning? And why was his family denied the autopsy report? What happened to this disappeared story? Dear Western peoples, if you wish to be able to walk down the streets of your cities without being accosted by police, demanded to present identity papers, searched, detained indefinitely, or assassinated without due process of law, if you wish to be able to express your opinion about your government and its use of your tax payments, if you wish to be able to discuss current affairs or your personal affairs without being recorded by the NSA or the equivalent in your own country or by both, if you wish to live in the freedom that was achieved in the West after centuries of struggle, wake up, find time from less meaningful pursuits to become aware of what is being stolen from you. It is late in the game. If you do not stand up for truth, you will have no freedom, as there is no freedom without truth.
Madam Babushka Kalashnikov, the view from my Perovsky card. Our next guest of the evening is Philip Ferrugio. Philip joins us each week from Port Orange, Florida. Phil is a prolific columnist. You can find him all over the internet, World News Trust, Op-Ed News, just a dozen places. Just look for Phil Ferrugio. That's with two R's and two G's. Ferrugio, just like it sounds. And here we go with Phil's column for this week. It's the Empire, stupid. And it's right here somewhere. There it is.
Okay, Sieg Heil is around the corner. In Joachim's Fest biography of Adolf Hitler, aptly titled Hitler, we learned many things never before taught in our world history classes. To delve into it now, with the needed detail from this 700-plus page masterpiece would be futile for me, the columnist. There is just so much to digest and comprehend about this Austrian of little education and no professional calling who became the Führer. Yet throughout the book, one cannot help but realize just how much the movers and shakers of our American empire copied tactics and outright propaganda from the Hitler gang. The use of the term fatherland to describe Germany rings so close to post-9/11 America's choice of homeland, as in homeland security. Ever since 9/11 and our subsequent invasions and occupations of Afghanistan and Iraq, each time there is a major sporting event, they spread out the giant American flag and trot out the honor guard to sing our national anthem. The real connivance is how they always show us American GIs dressed in camouflage, as if they just came from the battlefield. Check out the Nuremberg rallies and see the torchlight parades and honor guards with their brown or black shirts and swastikas throughout. This mania to salute soldiers who had no business being sent to the Middle East to invade, kill, or be killed and occupy foreign lands is sadly congruent to what transpired with Germany's attacks and occupations on most of Europe. Yet throughout history, this is exactly what empires have done. Why should ours be any different? Hitler was a masterful genius who had the good fortune, after much manipulation and scheming, to become chancellor at perhaps the 11th hour. Fest explains in his book how the Nationalist Coalition, which the Nazis were actually part of, could have formed a legal blockade to thwart Hitler's plans. Yet the fear of many from Germany's right-wing and centrist political parties, and even some left-of-center ones, like the Social Democrats, a forerunner to today's U.S. Democratic Party, they all believed, as Hitler himself stated, 1 year of Bolshevism would destroy Germany. The interesting thing is how Hitler used phrases and ideals that many of our current right-wing have copied or have been using. Christianity as a foundation of our national morality, and the family as the basis of racial and political life. That was said by Hitler. He promised to eliminate class struggle and to restore, quote, traditions of honor, unquote. Sound familiar? Newly appointed Chancellor Adolf Hitler, soon after his ascension, traveled around Germany giving hundreds of, quote, let's get to work, unquote, speeches to German labor. Sadly, as with the Nazi Party in the early 30s, working stiffs here in Florida, many with not a pot to piss in, voted for former Governor Rick Scott, now sadly Senator Rick Scott, when he ran for re-election a few years ago with his slogan, let's get to work. Why are we as a nation in such a sinking ship? Well, the propaganda has been nearly as masterful as that of Goebbels and his crew. We are a nation, as the late Gore Vidal aptly labeled us, at perpetual war. We spend over 50% of our federal tax revenues on the military. We invaded Iraq in 2003 so as to fight them there so they wouldn't come here. Do you remember that? Now it is ISIL or ISIS who, like the original Mujahideen that became bin Laden's Al-Qaeda, America financed and nurtured so as to fight one of our enemies. This writer has many acquaintances who consider themselves right-wing. They sing that same song. You're fighting them there so they don't come here. But whatever end, we have states so broke and overloaded with needs that they now want to become legal bookmakers on sports betting. Why do you think Colorado and Washington originally allowed recreational marijuana? Because they are so progressive-minded? Come on. It's to raise tax revenues. And look how many other states are following suit. Of course, to this writer who believes in the use of marijuana, I'd rather see them bat than legal bookmaking or the stupid lotteries, which attract mostly low-income folks who could use that money for more important needs. So we have a nation filled with our citizens working dead-end jobs for lousy pay, living in corporate-owned and operated rental housing. Of course, if they are lucky, they could find a home to rent from some independent predator landlord who bought it on the cheap when it was foreclosed or sold under financial debt desperation. Finally, here is how the movers and shakers of this military-industrial empire are even shrewder than the Nazi gang. What they did successfully, too, was create and maintain a two-party, one-party system. They made sure that the two parties, as in the case of the UK, seem to be at each other's throats, and they are on some issues. We know the Democrats will trumpet a woman's right to choose and gay rights and even a more liberal immigration policy. Yet when it comes to the meat and potato issues that the empire feeds off of, like heavy military spending, bases worldwide, WNDs to the hilt, free reign for big banks, big oil, big pharma, and all big business, there is little or no difference between the two parties. Look how the neocon-led Democratic Party minions agreed with President Trump over his cruise missile attack deep within Syria. Look how they all drank the Kool-Aid on blaming Assad and the Russians for that so-called chemical attack. Herr Goebbels would be so proud that sort of propaganda as this empire eats away at our nation's soul. If all those working sips out there do not finally get it and see through the illusions and propaganda, then all I can say is, Sieg Heil. Thank you.
Our next guest of the show is Ava Bird. Ava Bird is a poet living in Los Angeles, California. And we're going to, speaking of our anniversary show back in 2011, it was around this time, I think it was even maybe just this day, February 3rd or February 7th, 2011. Anyway, I think Ava was on that first show along with Sherwood Ross maybe and Frank Cordero. I can't remember, but I think that's what it was. Anyway, we're going to listen now to poet Ava Bird and her conversation with Chuck Gregory.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Ava. All right. Well, it's nice to hear from you. I don't know about you, but January felt like a very long month.
Yeah, it did. It always does, you know, the winter
yeah,
months.
Hey, I'm just glad not to be up in the cold areas.
We're pretty lucky to be in warm climates. I think about that. I do count my blessings on that one.
Really?
Imagine dealing with everything and having 10 below zero weather, you know?
Yeah, right. I mean, oh.
So I have a new poem that I'm working on. It's part one. It's actually more than a poem, but it's part one of a poetry novella that'll be ready pretty soon, hopefully. This is chapter one. It's called Your New Alphabet. This is your new alphabet. You will study it. You will memorize it. And you will speak it every day. You will follow our orders. You will pretend. Why is it? Why is it you that continues the fallacy? Why is it you that comes back to the same old stories, the same verses and curses on my body? Why is it you that keeps on with the lies like fluoride and vaccines and sick corporatized death by medicine? Why you? Sending money to the state for wars by taxes and bombs by IRS and IMF? And can you say the alphabet simply and understand it like a child would? NHS and FBI and ICE and taking all your money, the fiction of debt and currency that runs through the undercurrent of every satanic war, every satanic government, your bombs that you pretend you have nothing to do with, the silent green light of the TSA to grope and feel and invade those panties, rummaging through your luggage like Big Brother, Big Daddy, roaming fingers and eyes and knowing what's best for you. What's in your bag, ma'am? It's mine anyway. You said so when you consented to your American Airlines 9/11 fairy tale with nail clippers and box openers. Take your shoes off so I can see your foot fetish, so I can disarm you with control, authoritarians, guns. And you signed on the dotted line about the covert psychological warfare on your travel plans. Going to see grandma? Show me your underwear. I'll force feel you anyway, even if you say no. Just say no, like the Reagans used to say. Just say no to the people when they ask for basic rights. No to holy herbs and vitamins, but yes to Coke and Fantanyl. Just accept our pricks in your arms in the name of we know better than your own immunity, your own body. It's we who you. Take a look at your birth certificate. Don't you remember? When you were born, you became a corporation as we took from your mother, life giver, and stuck you in a box close to a coffin, but we wore masks and gloves and wore plastics in your veins so you can be set up to be a fake. Just a number. We all look alike, all slaves to the alphabets, the traps of languages, this stolen education of life and disinformation, your Zionist schools and chosen people, choosing your choices. We know better. We're smarter than you, but letting you know it's okay because we're all one. Just say amen. It's men who control it. Anyway, remember, you wanted it. You asked for it. You asked with your silence in the Facebook surveillance, your TV spying, smart meters listening to your phone orders for the latest up-to-date on your trinkets, and ignorance of techno-fascism. Just type in your credit card number. But that Google address is mandatory. Just click. I'll do it later. You will submit. You will click OK. You will look the devil in the eye and say, oh, OK, go ahead. I really need that job and that order from, I really want to put in that password, but it's not protected. As apples get in through the back door and your iPhone doesn't care. It just bows to the powers that be. That patriarchy just forces it anyway. Your medicalized birth, your pathological periods, your body and eggs and baby is ours. Just let us take it, prick it, send it to church and teach it that an old book is your master, only a few thousand years old, psychobabble featuring a psychopath that murders his only begotten son for your silly sins, and you believe it? You let them have it? You let them have your children and your body? Really? Girls, are you crazy? Are you that uneducated about your own biology and soul and spirituality? Are you really that much of a non-person accepting your second-class citizenship with a smile? I pledge allegiance to the pricks of the land of the fee and the home of the slave. I'll pay you for your wars and your silly games and play these charades of house and home and nurturer when all we want is freedom, liberation, independence of the fascist police, corporate church, technocracy, big pharma. State, we want to be free from the FDA and CIA, these demons of spying and controlling and pushing, drug running, drug runners given the okay with the CIA as they flood it into our neighborhood, these covert wars. Watch the blacks die from drugs from these thugs known as CIA, infiltrating countries for their resources. Exactly what they do with women, stealing the resources of a mother, a land, a people, a family, a community, a sacred circle of beings who just want peace, just want clean food and water, and feed babies and grannies and families the best that we can do. And we can do so much better, especially without the FDA coming around and spraying chemicals and spitting shit all over our greens and jerking off on our gardens with your Monsanto, your satanic shit all over the air, your shit chemtrails spraying the hairs of everyone with aluminum for Alzheimer's, killing all the plants for your own mental fit, murder for profit, genocide for your sick jerk-off fantasy with children and violence of porn and sexualizing your violent psychopath shit. You shit on women, your filmed abuse of sex and getting off on internet Pornhub, more users than Google, more sickos than you ever thought possible. This profound disappointment in the masculine, supposed to be the protectors and givers, not the takers, not the murderers and thieves that pervade the scene. Is this you? Are you this? If this is you, why don't you stand up? Why don't you say, no, this isn't me, and it isn't my brothers or friends or family. This isn't us. We don't get off to violence against women and sick sexual urges. It isn't us. We stand for the sacred masculine. Are you following me? Do you get it? Good, because you are the slave. You are the ones we're after, and you are the ones we are waiting for. You to get your shit together. Stop being so full of shit. I mean, do you know how much shit you're full of literally? Literally about your basic human rights, your basic needs, and you tolerate it? This nation of autism, this nation of epidemic of drug and gun violence, the nation of slaves pretending your lies are real and that others must abide by them, fighting for a country that never fought for you? So that's part of my new novel, Chapter One.
Hey, this is very cool. But what an interesting idea, poetry novella.
Yeah,
cool. Thanks a lot, Abba.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks. Thank you, too. Thank you and Mike and Lorraine for listening, and see you next month.
Okay, great. Bye-bye. Our next guest of the evening is Azura Crispino. She was scheduled to be at the top of the next hour, but since we're a little tight on time, we're going to run half of the interview now and the other half after the station break. So without further ado, here is Azura Crispino.
Hello, New American Dream listeners. This is Azura Crispino, co-founder of Prison Abolition Prisoner Support, or PAPS. As always, you may reach out to us at iheartpaps.org or check out our blog at papstexas.blogspot.com. Today, I have two exciting listening opportunities for you. The first is Free Greg Curry in his own words. Greg Curry, you may recall, was the first person prosecuted during the Lucasville riots. He has maintained his innocence since then. I was very lucky to be the first person to visit him after he got out of administrative segregation after more than two decades of being in administrative segregation. So I got to give him his first hug in a few years. And here is Greg to tell you his take on what's going on with the Vaughn 17.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for taking time to attend this important conference. Since last year's conference, I was finally allowed to leave the Supermax prison and come to a more normal prison setting. Comrades amongst you agitated for my transfer, and we won the transfer. So never underestimate the power of collective energy coming out of this conference. I do have a few ideas I'd like to share with you. First is, I feel you should get to know the prisoners you advocate for, establish a bond so that even if you make a wrong decision, we will understand you wasn't working against us. Also, don't settle for a response that supports your position on prison or race issues. Ask more questions. Examine the logical conclusions. For instance, in the last election in Ohio, many progressives supported issue one, a bill to let nonviolent drug offenders out of prison, only nonviolent drug offenders. None asked the question, if progressives don't advocate for violent offenders' release, especially those that have already done lengthy sentences, then who will? Your support, your calls to prisons, to parole boards, the media, all matter in time of crisis. Continue to support us in that way, as well as visits. Many of us have limited human contact. Encourage up-and-coming journalists, documentary makers, and attorneys to make a name for themselves by looking into some of these cases involving race, class, and sexual orientation. As a convicted member of the Lucasville riot cases, I can tell you the injustice no one saw was done in plain sight. Don't let that be the case with the Vaughn, with the members of the Vaughn, that's the members on trial for the Vaughn incident. Call the judge, the defense attorneys, write the prisoners on trial, send them a few dollars for stamps or books, and be ready to support them through all forms of retaliation that will come as a result of convictions, so they will not suffer in silence as the Lucasville convicted did. In closing, I'd like to say, let's bring some people home and be sure to thank those that put this event together. Freedom First, Greg Curry.
Next.
That was Azura Crispino, and Greg Curry was the voice on the recording. And we always appreciate having Azura available to us each month. Last month, she was overseas and gave us a recording. This month, she's catching up after her vacation, and so she gave us a couple of pre-recorded interviews and told us what was going on. So we definitely appreciate Azura Crispino.
Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship. Or be quiet. Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship. You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth. You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
Tune in Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for Liberation Nation with Deacon John, where America comes to hear the truth.
I know this is hard for you Americans to imagine, but please try.
Ohio Exopolitics will be on from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Studio A. Mark Steyer will have guests on that will discuss many important topics, including the state of the world today. However, much of the show will be dedicated to the writings of Edward Albert Meyer. Let me read a short passage from one of his writings. Love is the highest principle of creation, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. All of nature in its indescribable splendor is nothing but the love of creation, which is expressed visibly. The love of creation is everywhere, because without it, nothing at all would be able to exist. Please join Mark on Ohio Exopolitics from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Studio A.
Do you or someone you know suffer from poor circulation, shortness of breath, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural solution to help overcome these problems? People tell us that after just a few months taking Extendivite, their doctors have noticed unexplainable improvements in their overall health. For more information, visit heartdrop.com or call 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And
tell them Nighthawk sent you, because if you call this number and tell them Nighthawk sent you, you'll get $5 off your first order at extendedbite.com. Thank you.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And now we will be continuing our column from Zurich Espino. She brought us two recordings this month. And in this second one, we're just going to get a taste of it, but you'll hear a little bit of it, and then we're going to move on to Mickey Z. So right now, this is a continuation of our talk with Azura Crispino.
I'd like to introduce you to Ronnie Goodwin. Ronnie is also a member of PATH, and this is him speaking about his own personal experience with incarceration from the perspective of a survivor of violence done to his family, as well as the brother of a person who's been incarcerated. Yeah, I think that sounded better.
Okay, so I guess this is kind of a little bit of a different like path or different kind of talk than a lot of the other people have talked about, because they've talked about their own personal experiences with prisons and stuff like that, whereas mine is kind of somewhat in a different direction. In mine, my little brother was my best friend, and we did everything together, and we would always be together, and we would play cards, just random card games at the local card store. Every Saturday, we would do it. Well, in 2007, it was St. Patrick's Day. We were there playing cards. All the other guys, including myself, were over 21. Everybody's like, let's instead of playing cards, let's all go out and get drunk and drink and have fun. My little brother was 20. He couldn't go. So instead, I stayed with him, and we played cards. And then I got so upset because he kept beating me. I couldn't win. And so he was getting frustrated because I was getting upset. And he's like, look, I don't want to be here. He was never a person that wanted conflict. He would always try to run or avoid conflict at all times, which is odd because he was also in the military. I don't know why he would join the military if he wants to avoid conflict at all times, but that's just something that he believed in. He believed that he needed to serve and protect. And, well, on that St. Patrick's Day, he went and was out with some friends, and they were drinking. Him and his girlfriend had been having some fights and a lot of issues. Well, she went to go and pick him up from the party that he was at. They were coming home, and they were literally at the corner of their apartment. Say, this is the road, that speaker is where their apartment is. And they just turn right here, and they park at the edge of the street. And then they get out and they walk into their apartment. They started having an argument. So again, his initial reaction is to get away from the situation. So when they were stopped, he got out of the vehicle, and she pulled around to go and park. When she turned around, she didn't see him anymore. She didn't know where he went. And then all of a sudden she saw him, and he was laying in the road. He was ran over by a drunk driver. We never found out who it was. So,
well, that was a heck of a story. It goes on for some time, and He tells us more about what happened to his brother. So you can look that up on YouTube. Look for Pabst Rally 812, Ronnie Goodwin. Back to you, Mike.
Chuck, our next guest for the show will be Mickey Z. Mickey Z is a writer, activist in Queens, a story in New York City. And we're going to hear, Chuck, your conversation with Mickey Z.
Well, here we are in February 2019, and on one hand, it seems that January went awfully fast, and on the other, like many other people, it seemed like a whole year went by in a month. So, I don't know, time's funny that way. Anyway, we are very lucky to have as our guest right now Mickey Zazima, who just informed me that I've been mispronouncing his name for as long as I've known him, which is, I don't know, 10 years or something. in any case, welcome to the show, Mickey Zazima from Astoria, New York City.
Thank you, Chuck Gregory. It's a pleasure to be here, as always.
I have somebody else that calls me Gregorian, so I don't know.
Oh, okay.
The story of the year so far, you know, we might have thought it was all about the shutdown, but, you know, that the bigger story is somebody a whole lot more powerful than anybody in our government. Mother Nature has really been doing a number on us. So why don't you tell us what it's been like for you and all the people that you help out in the Homeless Women Project?
Thankfully, New York didn't even get an iota of what the Midwest got, but we still got some sub-zero wind chills and actually sub-zero temperatures too. And what that means for the homeless women that I helped is all the obvious issues that anyone could imagine and just the dangers. And then it becomes a situation where the city forces homeless people into shelters or drop-in centers. And those facilities are quite often not safe, and the type of places where a fair amount of homeless people actively avoid. And a lot of the women that I've known over the past 2.5 years of doing this, they have, you know, there are other options, SROs and places where you can get a bed for a night and actually have a room where you can close the door. And it's just a matter of panhandling. I mean, that's a lot of what they're doing, sitting out freezing, is to try and earn a certain amount of money to pay for that room in the evening, and then a little bit more just so they can feed themselves. So when people in New York City, the authorities will take them in, and in some cases, people who are homeless, like in any population, could be mentally ill or substance abusers, and they may need that type of help where they're not necessarily able to perform that type of self-care and assess whether they should still be out. But the people who aren't, if they get forced in, it puts them in a situation where they wind up sleeping in an unsafe place or not sleeping at all, or getting stuff stolen or getting assaulted. And when they have a very clear game plan where it's like, oh, if I just have X amount of hours to endure the cold, I can make this much money and then go to a place that feels safer and cleaner. And so it's kind of an interesting, I would never have guessed that until I started this project and started talking to the homeless women, that, you know, we may see them on the street and think, you know, oh my God, they should get inside. But that's all well and good, but they have a plan. And then of course, any place that they would be inside, whether it was like a fast food place or whatever, anything like that, they're not really welcome. They will get booted out at some point. So it's the project in general has taught me to see that situation differently, because now I have a lot more knowledge and context based on what the women have shared with me. But then more specifically to your question, when it drops to those temperatures, it's legitimately dangerous. I mean, imagine sitting on concrete in that type of weather, how cold that is, what that does to your bones and to your joints. And it's just part of the wear and tear of this, the horrible misfortune that, these women have undergone and continue to undergo.
Well, yeah, really, it would be awful to be out there in that kind of weather. I mean, well, even more awful than it normally would be to be out there. I'm interested to hear you talk about how they avoid the shelters and so forth. I'd like to look at that a little bit farther. In these kind of conditions, you said that they're picked up and forced into shelters.
Yeah. In fact, there will be announcements and also little ads on the subway where you could see them, which says if you see someone out in the cold, call 311. And that's how you get, I don't know if it's like that in every city, but I mean, it's New York City version of a non-emergency. You wouldn't call 911, but you would call 311 to report, say, hey, I'm standing on the corner of wherever in New York City and I see someone across from me. Because most people are very hesitant to approach a homeless person because that's what we've been conditioned to fear them, or they're crazy, they're dangerous, whatever it might be. And so people will call from like across the street. And then I can think of one woman last year when it was heavy snow said to me, she goes, I don't even know who called. Nobody approached me and said, are you okay? Do you need to be inside? She said, so then all of a sudden the police pulled up and she said, they knew me from this corner and they asked me and I explained I needed just a little more time. So the cops gave her a little more time, but then a few more people called anonymously without asking her. Then at that point, when multiple calls come in, they send an ambulance because now they're under the impression that they need an EMT. This person might be mentally ill or drunk or high and maybe in a position where they need to be put in a stretcher and strapped down and taken in for their own good.
Right.
And
Baker Act or whatever.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that that is impossible. That could happen to anyone. You know, like I'm sure plenty of people go out drinking at night and at 4 a.m. could stumble and fall and, you know, help somebody, you know, looks out for them if it's minus 15 out. But in the case of homeless people, the sort of the immediate assumption because of the culture, the conditioning we've all had, the assumption is that they can't make decisions for themselves. They're all drug addicts or mentally ill, and therefore we have to do something. But it's kind of, you could say it's the least anyone can do, literally make a phone call from across the street and not ask the woman, are you okay? Can I get you hand warmers or a blanket? Do you want to be outside? Do you need help getting to a shelter? Like just interact with the person, let them know. But now I know that it's not even just the least you can do. It's kind of it can be counterproductive. And fortunately, some of the city officials, whether it's cops or hospital people, they do get to know some of the homeless people who have regular spots and understand that it becomes almost like a neighborhood in the sense that the woman here and the man there and the woman here have a game plan. They're able to think for themselves. They're looking out. They're not going to put themselves at risk. And if it reaches the point where they don't raise enough money panhandling, they will just say, all right, I'm going to be stuck inside a shelter tonight, but it's better than dying on the street. I mean, that's literally so you have to pick your poison. So it's something that honestly, I would never, you know, I'm almost ashamed to say I've never even thought about before. Like, I live in New York City my whole life. I've always been involved in homeless-related issues, and I've always, even before this project, tried to interact with homeless people and give them whatever meager money I had. But I never put forth the effort to ponder the nuances of their situation. And I kind of had a black and white perspective as to why they were out and what I could do to help. And I don't know if I would have been someone that would have called 311 anonymously without talking to them first. But because I'm in this project, I know now I'm not that person.
Right.
But it's an interesting opportunity for anyone in any situation. You could be down in Florida when it's incredibly hot and you're worried that someone's dehydrated, yeah, and so on. It's an interesting opportunity to walk up and introduce yourself and just ask the first question, do you need help? Yeah. And then if they say yes, then the possibilities are endless. What can I do? What kind of help do you need? Do you need me to call someone? Is there something I can do? As opposed to just saying, oh, I'm looking across the street and that person looks like they're a mess. I'm going to assume they need help. I'll call an official and move on. And it's not exactly a profound revelation to say that quite often the authorities don't really know what to do or don't take their job seriously or can be abusive or mean to people who are beneath them. So you don't always want to call in the authorities right away if you have the capability and the comfort zone to walk up and talk to somebody and just simply ask the question, are you okay? Do you need help? And I think I would encourage people that they'd be pleasantly surprised to find that they'll have an important interaction. They may make a nice connection. They may be able to stop by periodically and give that person something and do something truly meaningful and even life-saving right there on the spot.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I think we all need to kind of reset our thinking on that. Now, certainly there are some people that are out on the street who would be scary. I mean, who you really wouldn't want to go up and ask them. I can think of one in particular here that I used to know 10 years ago or more. And if I hadn't known him personally, I certainly would never have gone up to him when he went off. He had basically a kind of a Tourette's thing. He had this thing. He'd start swearing at people, and he'd be yelling at people who weren't there. And it was pretty scary. Of course, he would get thrown off of buses. He'd get the cops called on him all the time. And, you know, those of us who knew him could actually go up and say, hey, Mike, really, it's okay right now, and let's go do this instead or something. In a situation like that, you expect people to do 3-1-1 or the equivalent.
Absolutely.
But
yeah, I'm glad that
that's okay, not sorry. The norm.
Yeah, and I'm glad that person, if Mike, as you called him, had someone like you or perhaps other friends who were in a position to talk to him and calm him down. And I fully respect anyone who knows that. I don't think, you and I have had many conversations about the activist mentality and taking on these delusions of how much you can do. And so in this kind of direct relief mentality, I could just tell you from my own personal experience, I'm not going to put myself in a position where I'm going to be a martyr. And there
exactly.
are, I've encountered to be, just empirical evidence on my part, the vast majority of homeless women that I interact with have been at least conversational. Mm-hmm. But there are more homeless men in New York who behave in the way that a non-homeless man would behave. They'll take up more space. They'll be louder. They'll confront you on the street and ask and like almost try and intimidate you into money. And it is very much a male-female dynamic in the sense that the handful of women over the 2.5 years I've done this who have been loud or, dare I say, scary looking, have been clearly someone that needed mental health. And I said, yeah, there's no doubt at that point. There are enough homeless people in a city like New York who are incredibly approachable and ready to have a conversation that nobody needs to put their health at risk to talk to someone who looks like they may lash out at them.
Right.
But the key is to look at them objectively and not assume they're going to lash out. But again, I think sadly there's just so many homeless people that I don't think, that's definitely not the norm, someone that's going to scare you. So therefore,
exactly.
I would encourage people that, sure, if someone's cursing and screaming and threatening, If anything, I go the opposite way. I see a lot of homeless men street harass women.
Yeah.
And I'll stand up to them and say, hey, you know, homeless men will try, like a homeless woman that I've been helping a long time may have a regular spot. And then a homeless man comes along and wants her spot. Now I'll help her defend that spot. I'll talk this guy down. And suddenly now I'm not so much on this guy's side anymore because he's looking to further victimize the victim. So it takes a certain amount of, there's a lot of nuance there without a doubt. So I guess to bring it back to the main point is that as we are in winter and so much of America is in a deep freeze, I would encourage folks that if you see someone that looks like they're in a dangerous situation, if you feel comfortable, begin the process by asking them if they need help and what you can do, because in some cases they may have a game plan and might not want to be dragged off the street into a shelter, which could really be a very ugly and dangerous situation for them. It's such a ugly situation, right? Like you would think if we had at least a functioning shelter system, you could say, all right, well, at least we have that. But obviously our economy is so bad, all these people are homeless. But then on top of that, the shelter system is so bad that they'd rather sleep on the street. So suddenly you have to get incredibly creative and open-minded as to how you individually can do anything because the system is so broken.
Well, yes, it's a huge problem. And I'm just so glad that you are doing your part to help people out. Helping each other is the most important thing any of us can do. And you have it's like you've devoted your whole life to it, these last few years. And it's a very good thing.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Also, I couldn't do it without the support of people like you who do send in donations to GoFundMe or Patreon or buy stuff off my Amazon wish list. People could look up Helping Homeless Women New York and you'll find all those websites. And I look at it as a team effort. You know, I part of moving away from traditional activism into direct action is I wanted to take my ego out of it and not, so I don't want to differentiate. The folks who send me money and supplies are part of the same team and I'm the one who does the legwork and goes out and gives it away. And like you said, that's the template, helping people within your reach. If you like finding out who's within your reach that needs help, for whom you have the capacity to help. Once you assess that, then I do believe it's your responsibility to help. Once you realize who can I reach and what can I do, then do it. And I guarantee the person you're helping isn't the only person that's going to be helped. It's really just a life-altering decision to do this kind of work.
Absolutely. Well, thanks. Thanks again. As usual, we've gone over our time, but it was fascinating as always. And talk to you again next month.
Thank you so much, Chuck. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I do enjoy visiting with Mickey Z from Astoria, New York City. He's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody. Doesn't have a point of view, knows not where he's going to. Isn't he a bit like you and me? Nowhere man, please listen. You don't know what you're missing. Nowhere man, the world is at your command. He's as blind as he can be. Just sees what he wants to see. Nowhere man can you see me at all. Nowhere man, don't worry. Take your time. Don't hurry, leave it all till somebody else lends you a hand. Doesn't have a point of view, knows not where he's going to. Isn't he a bit like you and me?
Some comfort at Willow's World, a variety of news, commentary and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Decentralization and bank annihilation. Bitcoin, Litecoin, MyCoin, YourCoin, blockchain, baby. Mondays at 1600 hours Eastern, Studio A.
Do you or someone you know suffer from poor circulation, shortness of breath, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural solution to help overcome these problems? People tell us that after just a few months taking Extendivite, their doctors have noticed unexplainable improvements in their overall health. For more information, visit heartdrop.com or call 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And tell them Nighthawk sent you, because if you call this number and tell them Nighthawk sent you, you'll get $5 off your first order at extendivite.com. Thank you.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, it's been another long week in Moon Rock Lake, Ohio, my hometown at the end of the empire. Solomon Sendak of Moon Rock Lake has been asked by the Daughters of the American Revolutionary Sisters of the Cross of Jesus the Savior and Ellen the Alien to write the preface to a new book written by 9 elderly nuns who are now undercover in the hills of eastern Iowa. The book is entitled, You People Are So Stupid. So I'm going to send Jack sent us a copy of his preface and said we could read it here if we have time. We have time right now. We've lived through years and years of American life with all its banalities and trivialities and ritual going through the motions until this day. And finally, I am able to say that the whole war on terror is phony. And the whole meme winds up through the fake terror attack since then, and only a scattered few outlaws know where it's leading. But we are Butch and Sundance, you and I. We're going to head them off at the goddamn pass. All of American life leans on the fake attacks of September 11, 2001. Oh, the killing and dying that day were real. But the rest of our culture, based on that false event, it's phony and fake, built in sand, so to speak. George W. Bush did it. Yeah, that stupid idiot knows the truth. He'll never tell you. He's as afraid now as he was sitting in front of that second grade class. He knew the material was over his grade level. You've seen his press conferences, where he's asked the questions and he dances around them saying there's a time for politics. There's a time for jail cells. Dick Cheney did it. You heard the quote from Mineta about the incoming whatever into the Pentagon? Condoleezza Rice did it. She knows the truth, an actual terrorist. Karl Rove did it. We're an empire now. You'll be left to study what we've done while we go on to do other evil things. Israel did it. Dancing Israelis on Israeli television saying we were only there to film the event. You saw all that. You know all that. Still you park in your same spot at work. Go in at the same time. Go home. Come back again. How much more proof do you need? My mother once said when she was young, they heard the War of the Worlds fake radio broadcast and it scared them. They got into the car and drove just to be moving, to be doing something, I guess, when the world ended. I think we do that every day. In our case, we know what's going on. We think there's nothing we can do about it. So we just work as hard as we can and shop and drink and get into debt and whatever it takes just to be in motion. Because if we sit still, the world will end and we'll still just be sitting there. Used to have a great world. Woods, lakes, oceans, animals, people. And it's gone. The greatest generation. The silent generation. The silent majority. The younger generation, Generation X, Baby Boomers, Millennials, Gen Z. Everyone's talking after church on the phone, texting, surfing, Facebooking, just all around communicating. But so, nobody is really saying anything. Not that what you're saying is wrong or you shouldn't talk. No, I wish I could communicate like you. Doing great things, creating, talking, being good to each other, laughing, being funny, working hard, learning new things, all that, but it's not enough. Even all that doesn't get it. Go to the root. All that, ideas, plans, well, it's just ridiculous if we don't care even enough to understand how we're being manipulated by lies. Yeah. By the CIA, the rich, the government, all that standard conspiracy theory jargon you've learned to mistrust. If your life's going to make sense to have worse, don't throw your present life away. Just find room for more. Because there is more. So much more. Saying. So yeah. Operation Northwoods was a plan concocted by American leaders to murder American citizens involving planes, fool the American people into believing it was done by someone else in order to justify our military attacking Cuba. President John Kennedy was informed of the plan, and he vetoed it. They killed him. President George W. Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney did not turn down the plan to attack America on September 11, 2001. They went along with it. Perhaps they helped plan it. And they live in big houses, big lives. We don't know all the details, but we do know they've not told us the truth. The truth is not important to them, and neither are we. That is our world. Of course it matters. Practically everything is connected to that day. When you go as fast as you can on the elliptical watching the TV in front of you and you're sweating it out, sweating out your demons with your phone and your water and your locker key. In all the little handy slots on the machine, you're not connected to the TV because you're above that. You're listening to your music on your iPod. This is your workout and your world. You have those earbuds shoved so far into your head, they're almost touching. You'd do anything not to have to listen to those two women talking to your right, or those two men to your left, or those goddamn idiots in front of you and behind you. More idiots. Small talk doesn't only bore you. It's more than that. It isn't to the point. It's a disruption. It's hesitating. It's cowardice. You would sooner poke out your eardrums and have to hear the conversations of the Americans around you. You are not an American. You're not one of those. You are different. You're better. You're smart. They're stupid. Stupid idiots. Cast glances towards CNN on the one TV, and there's cooking on the middle TV, and house shopping on the third, every day, all day, the three choices. You run, run, sweat. The TVs play loop after loop. You know the truth, but you say nothing. You know these people. They're Americans, and they will kill you. At the first utterance of 9/11 was... They know what you're getting at, and they come toward you. They know your whole argument, your whole life, and they will kill you. You shut your mouth, or we'll shut it for you. On the TV, the standard announcers talk about the elections, sometimes terror, more elections, a little more terror. In the cooking shows, they compete, fake, taste, run full speed around a kitchen. The house shoppers clutch hundreds of thousands of dollars in tight fists. They seek a nice space for their comely lives. All based on the premise that the attacks of September 11, 2001 were done by radical Islamic terrorists. To understand and proclaim the truth would be to topple the turnip truck in the middle of Mayberry. To overturn the Piroshki cart right in Red Square, the apple cart in front of the White House, the money changers' tables in the temple. There would be no more CNN, no more cooking with the chubby countess, no more biggest house, best bathroom, widest kitchen. You might not even need to artificially sweat yourself to death every day. Life would not be fake. It would be interesting. You would talk to your neighbor, and not about stupid, idiotic trivialities, but things that matter. You would not want to just die and give up and get it over with. You want to live. That's what they've taken from you. Your life. It matters. Think of what could be done with the billions of dollars that are spent for flag napkins at the church fellowship hall. For the little flag for everyone in the crowd at the ball game. For the flags for each student in the bleachers as they wheel into the gym. The last living veteran of the war that killed the Indians. And the flags next to the altar. The flag lapels for the United States Congress. The flags in the cemetery. Nobody really listens to TV news anymore. Just the dumb people, and you're not one of those. Nobody reads newspapers, just the ones with kids in sports. Nobody listens to radio, just the old guy at the post office who has Rush on full blast all afternoon. Everyone's smarter than that. There's other stuff to occupy our time. We don't have to spend all day plowing fields or killing Indians or discovering washer dryers and automatic garage door openers and security systems. It's all been done. We really don't have that much to do. This is our Jetsons time. We can just whoosh around in the air with no roads, have something like fun. And it's not really like that. So we imagine, we daydream, we wonder what life would be like over there. Or if only. I imagine that when we're not sweating, we are studying history. More to it than you know. U.S. history. Lots and lots of Indian slaughter. The Ludlow Massacre. Haymarket Square. Palmer Raids. Lynchings. There's so much to know. If you don't know at least some of it, well, you don't know anything. You don't know what's going on if you watch CNN. But surprisingly, CNN does make sense if you know what you're looking at. You're looking at the culmination of manifest destiny. Such highly refined, sugar-coated superficiality that you can't even see it. Kind of fascinating, actually. The Soviets drove up to someone on the street and shoved them inside. We have cloaked the Black Maria. I made it smell like freshly baked bread, the kind you stick in the oven to try to sell the house. Yeah. History is boring, that's right. Think of it as a Billy Joel song. Oswald didn't do it. James Earl Ray didn't do it. Osama didn't do it. Sirhan didn't do it. Oscar Torrijos, John Perkins, Salvador Allende, Jaime Roldos Aguilera, Hugo Chavez, El Salvador, the Phoenix Program, Operation Condor, Commies, Reds, JFK, MLK, RFK, Wellstone, Lumumba, Arbenz, Mossadegh, COINTELPRO, the American Indian Movement, the Black Panthers, the 60s anti-war movement. Scalia stops the counting of votes in Florida. George H.W. Bush smirks at the Ford funeral when he talks about the shooting of John Kennedy. The deaths of the Kennedy witnesses, the death of Gary Webb, Michael Hastings, how many more deaths? There are hundreds, thousands, heart attacks, cancer, car crash, plane crash, along with the personal character assassinations, the people driven crazy, MK Ultra, the persons trained to kill, minds altered, and probably, maybe, more every day. We don't even know. This is the American Soviet novel we're living in, and all we need is more vodka. Somebody inhabiting a novel doesn't freaking realize it. It isn't even real. It's made up. In the Soviet Union, you got disappeared by they, but the people had a good idea of what was going on. In America, years later, our they is so sophisticated, we really haven't any idea. This is America. You got your war on drugs, Panama Just Cause, Gulf Wars. Now we're getting somewhere. 9/11, Oklahoma City, Waco, Aurora, Sandy Hook. Going too fast here. Slow down. Can't. No time. There's more. Tucson, Aurora, Boston, Paris, San Bernardino. H. Wayne Carver, Gene Rosen. Barack Obama buried at sea. George Bush, There's a time for politics. It's an absurd insinuation. Dancing Israelis, we were just there to film it. There's a lot more. Still, that is just what we know of. Imagine how much is happening that we've never heard of. Never had a whiff of the sulfur. So that's where we are. And it's very confusing. It's meant to be. But then again, there's this book you hold in your hands. Have you ever read a novel where you just really connect? It's like the writer knows your own mind. It's like you could have written this book yourself. This guy is really smart. He thinks just like you do. I think you already know what's in this book. You could have written it yourself, but you didn't. You were busy sweating and shoving those goddamn earbuds way into your ears so the stupid people would not ruin your workout. I know. I am you. You are me. We are Americans. Stupid idiots. I'm the person on the elliptical sweating. I'm the walrus. And I didn't write this goddamn book either. But heck. Somebody did. All these writers have taken time. Well, not taken time. You don't do something like this as a hobby. It takes your life. You give your life. You don't care about losing your life because this means something. That's why these writers have done this. It matters. And they've done it for us, even though we are Americans and we are stupid, stupid idiots. But they've taken the time anyway. For that, we are grateful. And because of that, we are not lost completely. So, yeah, here we go. Roll up the windows. Don't catch your finger in the door. Do we turn off all the burners? Too late now. We're good to go. Let's take it to the next level. Stay on the same page. It is what it is. Bring something to the table. Wake up. Your toast is ready. The bus is here. The world is on fire. And that's the news from Moon Rock Lake, where all the police and soldiers are thugs, all the journalists and Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO lone gunmen are about outreach. The new American dream means never having to say some question or idea is not valid. We are allowed to ask any questions we have. There are no wrong questions. There's no hidden black military budget, no UFO files that Americans cannot see, no JFK documents that will not be opened during our lifetimes, no destroyed RFK murder photos by the LA police, no evidence from Ground Zero taken away before we can even look at it. We're not the USSR of the 1960s. This is supposed to be America. Well, that's our dream, to become America, the new America, the real hope of the world. We have a dream of bringing United States politicians, journalists, and generals that brought about these wars, these endless wars, these debacles, bring them to trial and put them on TV, just like OJ, every afternoon so every American can watch. Just like the McCarthy hearings and the JFK funeral procession. What we need is a new American dream, not a new homes and toasters and microwaves. Of becoming the type of country we always thought we were. Right now we live on lies, we subsist on lies, but it's not really living. 9/11 was an inside job, they all know it. What we need in America is a truth commission like they had in South Africa to heal their broken country. We need to put people on the stand, we need to be allowed to ask questions because our country is surely broken as well. The troops are not protecting us. Let someone spin on the day's news. Somebody's advertising slogan. Somebody else's sermon. The troops serve the empire. They're not heroes. They kill and plunder for the empire. American bases overseas serve nobody but the empire. The heroes in our country are the protesters, the ones who go face to face with the empire. Those in the plowshares movement, for one example. You have to know Donald Trump knows the whole truth behind the 9/11 attacks. He's complicit. He's lied. He's continued wars everywhere based on a lie, and he knows he's lying. Trump lies right to our faces on national television, just as Barack Obama did when he said that Osama bin Laden had been killed and buried at sea. Osama bin Laden buried at sea. Jessica Lynch rescued heroically. The USA does not torture. Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. George Bush won the 2000 election. See, there's a plane there in that hole in Shanksville. Went all the way into the hole. No, there's no blood, no bodies, no luggage scattered or plane parts. And Osama bin Laden was buried at sea. Remember the anthrax letters which said, "Are you afraid?" Those are not written with a rock and chisel like Fred Flintstone from the recesses of some cave in Afghanistan. The letters came from persons within our own government, like a horror movie, and the killer is in the same house with us. These killers, they're right here with us. They want us to be afraid. We cannot be afraid. You've been listening to the New American Dream radio show. We stream live every Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. And don't forget, it's listener-supported radio. So head on over there, make a donation, tell them you heard about them on the New American Dream radio show. Thank you, Mike, and good night.
Thanks to you, Chuck, for all you did to make the show happen, all the regular work and all the extra work. And thanks to our guests, Mickey Z, Ava Berg, Azura Crispino, Philip Ferruggio, and Frank Cordero. Please visit the New American Dream website, where you will find information about all of our regular guests and also the show archives, newdream.us. Also, Penn Magazine, and that's at pennmagazine.us. If you would like to send a donation to the Des Moines Catholic Worker and Frank Cordero, write to the Phil Berrigan House, 713 Indiana Avenue, Des Moines, Iowa, 50314. And so, good night to my friends Chuck and Lorraine. Stay warm down there. Good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. Good night, Mark Bingham. Good night, Timothy McVeigh. Good night, Charlie Hebdo. Good night, Don Hawksprung. Good night, Ken Lay. Good night, Muhammad Atta. Good night, Omar Mateen. Good night, Noah Posner. Good night, Crystal Campbell. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
Once upon a time, there was a tavern where we used to raise a glass or two. Remember how we laughed away the hours and think of all the great things we would do. Those were the days, my friend, we thought they'd never end. We'd sing and dance forever and a day. We'd live the life we'd choose, we'd fight and never lose, for we were young and sure to have our way. La 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 la. Then the busy years went rushing by us. We lost our starry notions on the way. If by chance I'd see you in the tavern, we'd smile at one another and we'd say, those were the days, my friend, we thought they'd never end. We'd sing and dance forever and a day. We'd live the life we choose, we'd fight and never lose, for we were young and sure to have our way. Through the door there came familiar laughter. I saw your face and heard you call my name. Oh, my friend, we're older but no wiser, for in our hearts the dreams are still the same. Good night, everyone.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Welcome to Revolution Radio, where you, the listeners, are in charge. Here at Revolution Radio, we present 48 broadcast hours of news and information each and every day. Revolution Radio never sleeps. Revolution Radio is worldwide and borderless information. Revolution Radio is also commercial-free. Revolution Radio is supported 100% by you, the listeners. And that's why we appeal to you to donate and support this station and its expenses. You can support us in many available options like archive subscriptions, our seed pack selections, or even my woodworking store. And we also even have Revolution Radio's swag at the Revolution Radio Zazzle store, in which you can get t-shirts, coffee cups, even a baby onesie. Or you can just plain donate to the cause. We cannot continue without your support, and your support is what helps pay the bills. So please, if you wish us to continue, please stop by our station support page and drop a dime on us. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. Safe? Do you have the necessary information to assist you in confidently living through just about any survival situation? Is survival and gardening, off-grid living, medical knowledge, or even natural or man-made EMPs on your list of personal concerns? Do you have your documents and your personal information in a safe place in your hands where you know where it is? Well, check out our preloaded EMP-proof thumb drive. Over 3 gigs of survival documents and how-tos, plus the USDA offline food preservation website, and much, much more, including a surprise bonus we just can't tell you about here. With plenty of room left over to store your most important documents, imagine if a megavirus or a computer failure took out your bank or all the banks.